Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, author of The Living Spirit, Answers for Healing and Infinite Love, ultimately a book designed to show us that as spiritual beings having a human experience, we are infinitely unique. And by learning about the universal laws of energy, we can awaken to our true human and divine potential. Today, I am delighted to welcome Nick Redfern, author of his newest book, Bloodline of the Gods, which suggests that a significant number of humans may be the product of an ancient and advanced alien civilization who has periodically modified and refined us as a species. Hi, Nick, and thank you for joining me today.
Oh, thanks for having me on the show.
You know, Nick, years ago, I would not have thought much about this possibility of aid or interactions from extraterrestrial beings. But after interviewing so many scientists and metaphysicians over the years and observing myself how humans were able to go from primitive man to people who could construct massive structures like the pyramids so long ago in Egypt, and at the same time in other parts of the world, and also having noticed how relatively fast we progress to civilized, socialized communities with interests in advanced studies as science, math, architecture, the arts and music, the thought of help from an advanced group of beings might not seem outrageous at all. Nick, as listeners of Healing From Within are aware, my guests and I seek to broaden our view of life and the universe through self-investigation and through mastering our emotional reality or fields so we may reconcile our energetic or soul life with the physical world and create a higher consciousness and awareness for an improved personal and world condition. Of course, this is only possible when we have an open mind and heart and wish to explore our greatest human and divine potential. In today's episode of Healing From Within, Nick Redfern, who is the author of more than 30 books on UFOs, Bigfoot, lake monsters, and Hollywood stories, including The Real Men in Black, The NASA Conspiracies, Keep Out, The Pyramids, and The Pentagon, and others, has appeared on numerous TV shows. He will share his extensive research about alien abductions, hybrid children, secret and powerful societies, and an elite bloodline that holds significant sway over the planet and its people, revealing that those people may not be entirely human. Nick, you know, I often ask my guests to think back to childhood and if there were any interests, experiences, people, values, or goals that were very important to them and might have led to the work that you're doing now and the lifestyle you enjoy now. Because I feel we come with a plan, a destiny, and we spend our entire life trying to discover what it is we were born to realize or do. So think back for a minute.
Well, yeah, actually there was one sort of defining thing that got me interested in UFOs. I've never actually had a personal sighting, but my father was in the British Royal Air Force. Excuse me. He was a radar mechanic, and he was actually involved in several UFO incidents where high-flying, fast-moving UFOs were tracked approaching the British, the east coast of the British Isles, and this was back in the 1950s, and nobody had any idea what these objects were. They were, as I said, they were flying at incredible speeds and heights, and aircraft fighter planes were scrambled from a nearby Air Force base to the one that my father worked at to try and intercept these objects. Some of the pilots reported seeing very bright lights, others reported seeing classic flying saucer type objects, and my father, being a radar mechanic, was brought in to examine the radar equipment and make sure it was recording everything accurately. And this actually went on for three nights, and after the third night, the encounter stopped, and everybody was warned not to talk about it, that they'd signed their military service oaths, etc., etc. And my dad didn't tell me until I was about 13 or 14. This was, you know, obviously decades later. This was back in the 50s when he was just like a young man. And so that's really what got me interested, not because it was just my own dad, but also because he was someone who was employed by the military and an expert in radar, and he was absolutely sure, and still is to this day. You know, if you ask him about it, he still talks about it. He's still sure to this day that they picked up things that were performing maneuvers that nobody back at that time, you know, had aircraft that could perform like that.
Well, I have interviewed many people who have discussed events like this in the United States and Canada and South America, and they are all pretty sure of what they saw and felt and observed, and they haven't forgotten it. So we cannot discount all these kinds of accounts, and I'm sure your father wanted to share that with you, because I'm sure he still thinks about it and would like to know more about what was actually happening then. We have lots of questions.
Well, that's true. I mean, you know, he was someone who, he realized obviously that something happened, that they tracked something, and the pilot saw strange phenomena as well. But unfortunately, whatever the, you know, if the military was able to solve the case, they didn't share that data with the pilots and the radar personnel. You know, it was kept, you know, amongst the higher up personnel.
Yes.
So, you know, I guess in that sense, he would like to know more, but he's, you know, he's sort of pleased as well that he actually was exposed to the reality of the phenomenon, you know, and came, and then from then onwards came to believe it was a very real phenomenon.
Yes, and tell us something about the story of Bloodline of the Gods.
Well, basically, the book is a study going back tens of thousands of years to the present day with alien abductions, all connected with the way in which the human race periodically over the years has been genetically manipulated or altered via extraterrestrials. And this encompasses everything from ancient visitations by what we might call like ancient astronauts through to today's alien abductions and stories of hybrid children, and even the so-called black-eyed children, which have become stories of which are becoming more prevalent in the last few years.
Well, the answers to this controversial question may well be found, you say, by examining those people whose blood type is Rh negative. So tell us something about the Rh negative, why it's so rare, and exactly about the blood type, so our listeners have an idea what we're talking about
here. Yeah, sure. Well, there are four primary types of blood, and those groups are A, B, AB and O. So that's the four groups, A, B, AB and O. And the vast majority of the world's population are what are called Rh positive. Now, Rh is a reference to what's called the rhesus factor. Now, this means that our lineage essentially is connected to that of the rhesus monkey. So in other words, we have this Rh factor in our blood. Now, arguably, if the theory of evolution is 100% correct, then each and every, you know, member of the human race, Homo sapiens, should be Rh positive. But we're not. There's a small percentage which is not Rh positive. They're called Rh negative. That means they lack a specific protein in the blood that everybody else has. And to give you a rough figure, in the United States, the number of Rh negatives is round about 13 to 14%. With African Americans, it's about 8 to 9%, and for Asian Americans, it's about 1 to 2%. So it's actually a small percentage of the population. But what's intriguing is that many of the Rh negatives report profound UFO encounters, alien abduction experiences, contactee encounters. And they also feel driven towards the UFO phenomenon for reasons they're not always able to understand. It's almost as if there's something sort of programmed in their DNA and deep in their subconscious that makes the Rh negatives not just different, but in some fashion to have a link to the UFO subject.
Do you think that this could possibly have been like a mutation, a genetic mutation? Like they say that blue-eyed people actually are a mutation, and originally everybody had brown eyes. So could it be, or is that not possible?
Well, I mean, I actually do think it's a mutation, but the big question is, of course, is it a natural mutation of nature, you know, and progression of the theory of evolution, or was it a deliberate intervention kind of mutation by extraterrestrials? That's the big question. And, you know, the very fact that so many Rh negatives do have a connection to the UFO phenomenon is something I don't think we can ignore. And there's a lot of other weird stuff as well. For example, there are physical differences between the Rh negatives as well. Now, a small percentage of the population every year is born with an extra vertebra in their spine. But, you know, for most people, unless you ever had back surgery, you might never know that you've got an extra vertebra. But within the Rh negatives, it's a higher than normal percentage of the rest of the population who have an extra vertebra. Typically, Rh negatives have slightly lower than normal blood pressure, which is actually a good thing. They have slower than normal pulse rates. They don't do too well in direct sunlight and high temperatures. And
yes.
So we have things like
I know I read they're prone to hives and rashes and photosensitive.
Hives and rashes in the sun, yeah. Particularly on their shoulders and neck and sort of their, you know, their chin and cheeks is where typically when they get overheated, the rash starts to develop. And so we see, you know, we're seeing both physical differences and, if you like, mind-based differences in the sense of feeling this calling, this pull towards the UFO subject.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they did. Yes, they're interested about that. Well, I'd like to share a story that I have never shared on the air in 6 years because I think it's relevant to this topic today. I was at a conference in Arizona, and I went to a drumming or music healing session, and there was only one seat opened. And I sat down next to a young woman who had very, very, very light skin and light hair. And I'm an energy healer and a sensitive, and I just felt the quietness of her energy, so I turned to look at her. And afterwards, she came over to talk to me, and she said to me, "My name's Victoria, and I'm not the same as most of the people here, and I have been taken up in ships with others and have been educated and trained as to my purpose here, and I." She was raising a family, but they weren't her own family. She was not supposed to have children. And so I kind of was very intrigued by the fact that she was here to write beautiful music that would be healing to us, and that she had such a kind and peaceful way about her, and she did appear to be different. So I think it is something that we can observe in some people, and it doesn't mean because they're different or perhaps from a different star system and they're here trying to mingle and learn about us or to help us learn and evolve that we should worry that it would be a negative. Like the Rh negative might not be a negative factor at all in helping our planet develop. So I just,
well,
I just wanted
well, that's interesting.
Yeah.
And it's interesting that you know, there was that one seat left of all places right next to her. You know, that's...
Yeah.
I think people often get sort of strange synchronicities like that in this particular subject, as if you're meant to be in a certain place at a certain time to learn something. But, yeah, you actually make a good point. I mean, one thing I should stress about the term RH negative, it doesn't mean there's anything negative about the person. The term negative relates to the fact that their blood lacks a particular protein that everybody else has. So it's not like there's some black cloud hanging over or anything like that. Now, negative is meant in lacking something in the blood rather than negative meaning, something that's a negative nature or whatever.
So. Well, that's what I wanted to point out because perhaps I was there because in years to come I would be discussing some of this and it would be relevant to share the fact that there are people who know their purpose on this planet and to do good. Is what I feel it's all about. Now, what bearing does the RH negative situation have on the theory of evolution? And are RH negative people marrying people with RH positive blood and expanding this uniqueness or perhaps gift to the general population?
Well, I mean, in terms of the first part of the question about the theory of evolution, yes, it does have a major bearing on evolution because we know that, over the tens and tens of thousands of years, there have been different types of humans. You know, today we're all Homo sapien. Before us, there was Neanderthal man, there was Cro-Magnon man. And, some people think they get those names because they come from different parts of the world. That's not the case. They're actually different types of humans, We never really give that much of a thought today because we're all Homo sapien, but imagine it would be quite strange to be sharing the planet with where not everybody's Homo sapien. If the Cro-Magnons were still around or the Neanderthals were still around, they would literally be classed as a different type of person to the rest of us. But the important thing is, that as I said at the beginning, the small percentage of the population lacks what's called the rhesus factor, which traces back to the rhesus monkey. And the big question is, why should a small percentage not contain that factor? As I said, if evolution is 100% accurate, then we all should be RH positive. So, it doesn't unfortunately provide answers, but it does suggest that the theory of evolution, even if it's, partly correct. It doesn't tell the full story.
My own feeling is that partially it doesn't tell the whole story. Yeah. And what if these extraterrestrial beings even seeded the planet and brought the plant life and brought the monkeys for evolution to begin? That's a whole another story to go into. Because, we can talk about the Big Bang Theory, or we can talk about evolution, or we can talk about the fact that we just don't know how so very long ago life began here. And at this point, I don't really think that matters as much as learning to live together and accept everybody's similarities and differences and make the world and universe a better place. Now, coincidence or not, RH negative blood abounds among both the famous and the infamous people in history. Can you tell us about some of the people who have this factor and where they
get it?
Yeah.
Well, certainly many members of the British royal family are RH negative. And this sort of ties in with the whole issue of, for example, elite bloodlines, powerful lines, that kind of thing. And I talk about this in the book where, I don't actually think it's a coincidence that we're seeing this. It does suggest like a lineage that's going back a very, very long time, right pretty much up until the present day. Now, before we sort of get to the elite groups, you mentioned the infamous as well. Certainly the world's most infamous RH negative who actually changed the course of history would be Lee Harvey Oswald, who allegedly killed President Kennedy. We don't know for sure, or maybe as part of a team, we don't know, but he was RH negative, and rather strangely so was his wife, Marina. She's still alive, but she's RH negative as well. We also find, for example, a number of presidents, like President Eisenhower was O negative, as was President Nixon.
And also you mentioned Bill Clinton is and George Bush Sr. Now, that's an awful lot of people out of 43 presidents in our country. And the whole line of aristocracy in England. And so you can say that the ruling class or the political structure is heavily imbued with Rh negative people.
Yeah, and this may account for these stories, you know, where people talk about a secret alien elite ruling the planet. What it could be is that they aren't necessarily, you know, the aliens aren't directly controlling the planet themselves, but they may be doing so almost in like a strange way of doing it by proxy, so to speak, when they're not actually here, but they've left their bloodline to continue the control of the planet. Now, of course, the average person who's Rh negative, you know, they're not part of some secret elite, you know, all phoning each other up at certain times of the day and having secret phone calls. It's not like that.
No.
But I do think that could be the case with the elite groups. You know, the elite groups may understand and know the full story of this bloodline elite, and they may have an understanding of what they are, whereas the rest of the Rh negatives, you know, they're in the dark pretty much.
Yeah, I would think that's so. And I would think, again, they are, one of their traits is they're quite intelligent, and they have other sensitivities and extrasensory abilities, and this would help them in knowing how to make better decisions and how to be calm and collected during many events, and it would definitely be an asset for a leader to have. So I think it's possible they may be aware, and then again, even if they're not aware, they're using their gifts to the best of their ability, and it's in their genetic structuring, so to put. Now, how do the legendary Anunnaki
The Anunnaki, this is sort of gets to the heart of the story. Now, the Anunnaki, if you look back to ancient religious texts, you'll find they were very prevalent in the teachings and writings of, for example, the Babylonians, the Assyrians, and the Sumerians. And certainly, you know, thousands of years ago, the Anunnaki were viewed as sort of all-powerful higher entities, almost like deities, like gods. But if you look at the translations and interpretations of the ancient texts, you can quite easily place the Anunnaki in the context of visiting extraterrestrials who played a significant impacting role on the development of the human race. And a lot of the data points to the likelihood that the Anunnaki genetically manipulated and altered Cro-Magnon man, possibly to create tens and tens of thousands of years ago sort of a hybrid robust slave race that could do the bidding and the work of the Anunnaki. Now, it is a fact that when the Cro-Magnons surfaced, there was almost like this immediate jump from very primitive, you know, small ape-like semi-human creatures to highly skilled, highly evolved Cro-Magnons. You know, most people think of so-called cavemen. They think of, you know, a guy dressed in a bear skin with a club in one hand and pulling his wife by the hair to the cave in the other. You know, that's the image that people almost have. But in reality, Cro-Magnon man, their brains were roughly the size of baseball, bigger than ours. I mean, that's a significant amount of brain power. They were highly skilled artists. We know that from the cave paintings that still exist in parts of France, which are very, very advanced painting. They also fully understood the nature of death because of their burial rites. We know they had music and a language, so they were actually highly evolved. But here's the weird thing, they evolved so quickly. You know, it was like not just a mutation, but a deliberate insertion into the species to create an immediate change in the species.
Now, that's something to take a look at. The time factor and how fast they became more proficient and civilized at doing everything that they had to do to advance society. And that's where I find it very interesting that we definitely had to have some kind of help to do that. Now, we've thought about this, and in alien abductions, they talk about small gray men, and then they talk about reptilian large figures. There are several different types of descriptions of characters or people or living creatures that may be part of this whole plan. Maybe they're connected and maybe they're not. What do you think about that?
Well, I mean, it's interesting. When people talk about seeing these small entities that are known as the greys, they're like these large-headed creatures with big black eyes and dwarfish figures, people often report seeing sort of supervising in the background these large reptilian creatures, very often described as being sort of 7 to 7.5 feet tall, looking very menacing, and just like a bipedal two-legged lizard is the best way you can describe them. And they seem to be, as I said, overseeing things as if they're either running the show or, you know, they're overseeing the greys who act in more of a sort of almost like a soldier ant, you know, in an ant colony where they just perform the same tasks over and over again. But then you have the queen of the colony who's sort of ruling it. Now, in a lot of these stories of abduction cases, you know, they actually parallel some of the theories that have been advanced for how the changes may have been made to Cro-Magnon Man. That's to say, people talk about being abducted and DNA and genetic material and eggs and sperm being taken from their bodies. And then the abductees talk about seeing these strange little babies and children that look like a cross between us and the so-called greys. They become known as hybrid babies or hybrid children. So it kind of suggests that whatever this genetic program was that began tens and tens of thousands of years ago, that in some capacity it's still going on to this day. Not necessarily to create a slave race, but possibly to even assist the aliens themselves. One of the theories is that today, whereas in the past they were all powerful, today they may be on a genetic downslide, like an evolutionary decline. So they try and splice themselves with our cells to essentially improve their stock, in simple terms, because they can no longer reproduce properly, so they're having to rely on the human race in a very different fashion that they did tens of thousands of years ago.
That makes sense to me. And these hybrid children, do they live with those extraterrestrials, or are they merging onto the planet? And the black-eyed children, I don't know much about them. How would one notice them, or how would they stand out?
Well, yeah, that's a good question, because in the sort of 70s and 80s, we heard stories of hybrid children and babies, but typically they were seen in underground bunkers and caves, and, you know, as if these aliens had underground installations right here on Earth. But from the 90s onwards, more and more people began reporting seeing these weird-looking hybrid children on the streets. And even adults that didn't look quite human, that looked sort of semi-human and semi-alien. And then today we have these so-called black-eyed children, which are very often usually only seen at night, and they have very pale skin, look human except for the fact that their entire eyes are black. I mean, even the white of the eye is black, so they look very strange. And this has given rise to the theory that all of these abductions that have been going on for decades, that the program has been designed to essentially create hybrids that can be sent out to essentially infiltrate us. Now, the word infiltration is kind of, you know, an emotive one. We can look at it from a positive perspective that they're going out amongst us to help us, or could it be some sort of silent invasion? And you have different researchers on different
sides,
who take different approaches to it. So, you know, it's hard to say, but I mean, we are definitely seeing an integration, if you like, where these things are proliferating more and more in reports, not just on UFOs or underground, but actually like people seeing them late at night on the streets with hats pulled down and collars turned up, as if they're trying to camouflage themselves so they fit in a bit easier.
I see. What do you think the reaction would be if it were proved that significant numbers of the population are not entirely human, but products of ancient genetic manipulation? Why do you think some of the reports have not been released in many countries?
Yeah, I think a lot of people would find it amazing and intriguing, and I don't think they would perceive them as threatening. But unfortunately, I do think a small percentage of the population, you know, particularly people who are biased and things like this, and would potentially view them through sort of suspicious eyes. And you know, we only have to look at, for example, one of the things I pointed out in the book, when, for example, Ebola broke out in Dallas, which is just down the road from where I live. You know, everybody remembers that there was, you know, the guy flew in and died, and then the two nurses got Ebola. Well, you can still see the stories on the internet now where people were calling for Dallas to be sealed off and quarantined, and, you know, it was like something out of The Walking Dead. And then, but, you know, these people weren't a threat. Yes, the one guy died, but the two nurses recovered. But there was this mass hysteria for a while that, you know, cities need to be quarantined and closed off, and emergency laws need to be applied. And I wouldn't be surprised if a few loud people sort of demanded that with the Rh negatives. But I personally don't think it's warranted at all, because, as I said, most people aren't aware that, you know, unless they've had their blood taken, aren't aware that they're even Rh negative. So it's not like they're part of some sinister plot. They may not, then, you know, they just may not even know.
That's true, so, Nick. I think some of these shows that they're showing now, like The Walking Dead and Fear the Walking Dead, has a reference to the work you're doing, because we are becoming more aware of the possibilities of the existence of life beyond here. And I would like to think we would have to accept all life forms and become more aware of the possibilities for intergalactic life communication as we all evolve and conquer our own human frailties and limitations, so we can accept ourselves and others with their uniqueness and gifts of universal energetic forces of life. So I'm going to go with that thought and hope that some of the fear that's being generated through some of the film and media will start to quiet down, because some of it is just so ridiculous. So I want to thank you, Nick Redfern, author of Bloodline of the Gods, for an amazing trip into the distant past and into this time when many scientists still feel proto-humans may have been genetically manipulated by ETs, perceived by ancient man as nothing less than all-powerful gods. In order to find out more about these thoughts, please go to nickredfern.com. In summarizing today's episode of Healing From Within, Nick and I have discussed the possibilities of help from an advanced universal or alien life force, which may have interacted in increasing the speed of our young planet's evolution and in the advancement and refinement of Cro-Magnon and Neanderthal man long before our civilized societal communities even began, and long before religious systems were established. The reasons for this alien involvement may have been to help create a more advanced human population to work for them, or to link humanity to the universal community. This advanced group, known as the Anunnakis, might have also wished to have a symbiotic relationship with humans, or Adamos, as they were called, as it is also possible they wished to use our natural resources, most especially gold, to help them maintain life on their planet, which was facing natural evolutionary destruction. We see our own planet and inhabitants in this modern-day world of technology, global warming, and changes in the environment facing the same troubling life-threatening factors that may have affected this group of space travelers. Perhaps they had hopes to share more of their diverse cultural values and perceptions in order to foster equality, unity, and harmony. Today in our world, it is no longer uncommon or unusual to see marriages and children born of people from different ethnic and racial backgrounds. Perhaps this is a collective consciousness or inherent memory of altered and improved bloodlines by these highly advanced alien visitors. These advanced people, who had a longer life expectancy than humans, may have genetically altered some of the population and may have had hybrid children who exhibit the Rh negative factor in their blood type. Many of the stories of ancient mythology speak of these advanced people who could have been seen by the primitive human community as gods, and perhaps many of the later religious ideas and stories are linked to these people or extraterrestrials. Nick and I would have you simply open your minds and see the possibilities for knowing things are not always as they seem and can be expanded to be more wonderful and illuminating when we view new ideas and information without fear, but with hope that this knowledge can help us make better lives for everyone and bring us together as the ancient astronauts might have hoped we would be able to establish in time. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing From Within, and welcome you to visit my website, CherylGlick.com, to listen to worldwide leaders express thoughts and ideas that you may think about occasionally and wish to learn more about so you can grow and prosper in your own view of self and keep abreast of the multitude of new facts emerging now about our changing world. Shows may also be heard on webtalkradio.net and dreamvision7radio.com. Thank you.